And welcome back to another episode of Geek Exchange. Your boy La.
It's me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about our thoughts on the newest Godzilla movie, not from Japan this time. It's from the US of A, the good old Godzilla X Kong, A New Empire.
Yep, the next chapter in the Monsterverse, which, you know, it's still...
Going!
Yeah, it's still a surprise, right, that the Monsterverse is still a thing. I mean, granted, like, I don't think there were any huge plans for it. Like, it's thankfully one of those cinematic universes that just goes, we'll make stuff when we feel like it's good and amazing.
Right? Yeah, because, like, I don't think anyone thought it'd be going, right? It's... I like to say that this is its current Showa era, and if those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'll explain in a minute, and those of you who do know what I'm talking about, look at you, fellow Godzilla fans, you'll understand why I say that. But yeah, no, it's surprising that we get, was it the fifth movie? Because it was the first one, Gareth Edwards Godzilla, then it was...
Yeah, Godzilla 2014, then Godzilla King of the Monsters, well, I mean, technically Skull Island first.
Skull Island, yeah, Kong Skull Island, then King of the Monsters, and then we got our Godzilla vs. Kong
movie, right?
Yeah. And then we got this one. This is the fifth one. And it's weird because it feels like it should have been longer, but then we, like, when you compare it to other cinematic universes like Marvel or DC, who just kind of churn it out. Like you said, they'll make it when it's ready.
Yeah, like, obviously Marvel has gotten to the shtick of, like, making, like, three movies a year at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Releasing three movies a year.
Yeah.
The next chapter of the Monsterverse, it's King Kong and Godzilla teaming up this time to face a new threat, the Scar King, who wants to destroy the surface world from the Hollow Earth.
Yeah, and his little buddy, Shimo, yeah. It was Shimo. I had to look up and make
buddy's
sure.
Buddy's a strong word if you know the plot of this movie.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna talk about how, like, this new villain. I really like the new villain, this Scar King. I'll go deep into that in our further discussion of this movie. But as those of you who do know, we do tend to give like a 1 minute thought, and then we go into further discussion, and then we give a rating towards the end. So we'll go ahead and start that off because I feel like there's a good amount of stuff to talk about. Jay, why don't you start us off with your 1 minute of a thought.
Alright, so Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire,
mm-hmm.
is definitely sort of what you sort of, it's kind of like what you see on the box is what you get out of a movie. Like, the plot isn't like super deep in terms of human plots, as it sort of tends to be with a lot of these American style Godzilla movies, but the overall plot in terms of just Kong finding out that he's not alone in Hollow Earth anymore, as well as just, that the conflict between, him and the Scar King and stuff, is all very interesting. And we have a Godzilla who, I mean, isn't truly that much of a pivotal character in terms of just the plot, but he definitely is there. He has his moments. Like, he's sort of just, getting ready to take on the Scar King in his own way. But yeah, overall, I think it's a pretty solid action movie,
I agree. Alright, and for my time, so as a longtime Godzilla fan, this is a movie that is right up the alley of camp and fun. There's a lot of funny moments, there's a lot of, moments that you kind of would see and like, that's silly, but that's very true to Godzilla, the body slamming and the, the wrestling moves that Godzilla makes harkens back to a lot of classic stuff, and honestly, a lot of it feels like that early Godzilla series, the Showa series specifically, like I mentioned earlier. And honestly, it's a lot of fun. It's just a really fun movie. I agree with Joey. It's very much like you're gonna get what you want: Godzilla and Kong together fighting it out against a threat that is, When you put your mind to it, it can be terrifying. And yeah, no, I had a lot of fun with this movie, and I wouldn't say anything else about it. Yeah, so obviously we gotta talk about the Scar King, who is like the newest character of the of these movies, a new original character. A lot of people originally were kind of like looking down on the fact that, oh, it's just another ape, but man, from the moment they introduced him, they gave such a character.
Yeah, 'cause he's definitely given that presence of like he isn't just a very angry orange-looking like monkey, right? He is, you know, he possesses a lot of interesting, you know, fighting styles and has this cool whip like chain kind of weapon and obviously he, you know, like. In allusion to the new empire kind of thing, he essentially just rules over a bunch of the Kongs as this sort of like, you know, king who, you know, is like desperate to want to, you know, destroy the surface world because he felt like he was you know, like, hey, you know, like I don't want to be protecting no humans.
He didn't want to be subservient.
Yeah, like I am my own master. We must, you know, rise up
Yeah.
kind of thing, right?
And like for me, I kept going to like, you know, like in the mind of of someone who enjoys animation and like a lot of stuff. There's a lot of like character, you know, motion to this. I think that's the right word to call it. But you know, like when someone's like, you know, very happy, they start jumping and, you know, moving around or being very sporadic, and you know, there's like extra little hints of like how much a character moves that the animators would give him, kind of stuff.
Yeah, and obviously that's definitely necessary because there are quite a bit of scenes where it is just, you know, obviously it's Kong and Scar King, like there's no dialogue, right? It's
Yeah.
all pantomime, basically.
Yeah, it is very much that. And like just the way he acts, it's just like so like vile and petty. It's so good. Like there's a moment in the movie which yeah, by the way, spoilers, you're gonna be throughout this video, this episode, you know, where he makes fun of him like having a metal tooth. You know, he just like just you know, just the way he moves, just like he's just some like something different to compared to Kong, who's like more like bigger and stockier, so he moves stocky. But because Scar King is more taller and lankier, he moves in a sort of like not sneaky, but you know what I'm going with?
I guess what you're trying to say is a bit more like, I wouldn't say sporadic, but I know what you mean. Like, his lanky, like, body gives him a bit more of, like, a weird, like, movement, like, sort of unnatural,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. And like I said, he's just very sporadic. Like you said, because there's one where he's like, oh, I guess I won't kill the kid, but I'll kill this other fucking giant gorilla.
He's a bit psychotic, you
Yes.
know?
And like the movie emphasizes that Kong is intelligent, he knows how to use tools, so does Scar King, but the way he goes about using his tools is so like evil. Like you can see, just knowing that it's a creature that knows how to use tools and has full awareness of his psychotic, how psychotic he is. I think that's what makes him kind of like terrifying.
I mean, yeah, like it is, you know, at least when you compare it to, say, probably the other, I guess, villain monsters in the MonsterVerse, right? The Mutos are just kind of big bug monsters that just want to reproduce. I mean, Ghidorah, obviously, you know,
Yeah.
top class tier of kaiju villains, but I mean, you know, he's from Toho, obviously, so they obviously harken back to that sort of, you know, backstory. The Skullcrawlers are also just. I mean, they're kind of just like big giant lizard monsters,
Bit
you know?
fodders.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, Scar King definitely has a bit more personality, right? He's a bit, and like you said, a bit psychotic, you know? Like, he just has this sort of like demented way of like thinking and processing stuff. So when you think about Kong and how, like, you know, as an ape, you know, like he has, you know, the abilities to make those decisions, make tools, use tools, stuff like that. I mean, yeah, we see him using traps whenever it comes to like fending off other predators in Hollow Earth, as well as you know, the Legion of Kongs that follow the Scar King, right? So, you know, it only makes sense that Scar King himself is also intelligent and also is able to use tools to such an extent. And, you know, as we said earlier, we are going to spoilers, he has not his little whip, like, is not just, like, this weird, like, whip he uses for fighting. It also has this, like, weird crystal that allows him to control Shimu. You know,
yeah.
This weird ice dragon thing, you mm-hmm. know? Which, by the way, when they revealed this creature, I was like, because I think it's the human characters also going through, like,
yeah.
like, setting up the scenario, like, oh, you know, this happened, blah, 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 you know, Scar King took, you know, pretty much held hostage this other, like, titan called Shimu. And for a second, I thought I heard Shiva. And I'm like, hey, is this, like, a Final Fantasy reference? What am I getting here? And only then were other characters like, oh, it's Shimu. It's like, oh, Shimu. Man, that's a little less of a cool name. They should have just said, you should have screwed it and just call it Shiva.
It's Shimo.
Shimo?
Yeah.
All right, listen, all right, that's how uncreative that name is, right? Even I'm forgetting about it, but the design is kind of cool, though.
Yeah, it's a nice dragon.
Like, you can't go wrong with it. I mean, it's not flying around, but it is.
But there's such a moment of, like, his joy of controlling Shimo with that crystal. It's just like, oh, it's just so evil. And everything they set up in the background shows you how kind of, like, demented he is. I mean, just having heads on spikes is just like, well, okay. This is, oh, right.
I mean, yeah, like, it, you know, it's like, if it doesn't, that doesn't drive the point that the Scar King is a bad guy, I mean, like, hits on pipe, that's pretty, bad guy material right there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you know, we talked a little bit about, Scar King and I, as he brought up, Shimu, right? Like, I think it is, you know, because I think part of the a lot of people's, I guess, theory crafting before is like, how is this, like, what is this Scar King doing that he's got both Godzilla and Kong, like, you know, like,
we have to team up.
Yeah, like, what is he doing? Like, oh, he has a friggin' ice dragon that will bring about the next ice age.
Yeah.
Alright, that makes
sense. Aside from being, like, just, like, a tough villain for one of the characters.
Yeah, because, I mean, he does, whoop Kong's ass pretty well in their first confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he straight up. And to be fair, he also had Shimo just, like, frostbite his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does not play fair.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we can talk a little bit about the human plot. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not that very deep.
It is not, and it's so sad compared to, and I really hate to say this, because they're two totally different movies, and they're also very indicative of, like, what Godzilla has always been. Like, you know, comparing the human plot from this to, say, Minus One, right? It's, they're two different kind of movies, but you can't, but people who, like, aren't used to Godzilla being kind of over-the-top silly sometimes would be like, well, why do we have this when we have the superior? They're the same damn thing.
I always look at those comments, and it's mainly from people who are jumping in on Godzilla, like, for the first time, because Minus One got a lot of rave reviews and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, deservedly so. It's a really good movie.
It is a really good movie.
And you go check out our review of it. But I always find that it's just a weird, like, point to me. Like, oh, you know, like, you know, disregard every other movie besides the original Godzilla and Minus One, right? It's like, really? Like,
even Shin?
Yeah, it's like, because that also lines in sort of into the more serious sort of tone of Godzilla movies, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know, when you got the creator Evangelion making it, I might as well, you know, I guess, you know, it's also over the top. But, yeah, no, it's always a weird conversation, because it's like, guys, like, listen, as much as we understand that the original has, like, a lot of this cultural impact, and, you know, has, you know,
Great metaphor
for nuclear weapons and all that stuff. It is a giant radioactive lizard. I mean, like,
yeah.
Most people's experience with Godzilla that haven't watched any of the movies is just Godzilla. Oh, the giant lizard that breathes fire and destroys Tokyo all the time. Yeah, you know, sure. You know, I'm supposed to take that seriously. I mean, like,
it's a guy in a rubber suit.
Yeah, it's like, to me, it's always been like, I don't know. It's like a weird, like, it's kind of like how some people, like, constantly uphold The Dark Knight as, like, the best superhero movie ever,
mm-hmm.
just because it's nowhere near as silly as any other, like, superhero movie. Although, you could also argue that, like, there is kind of some silly stuff that happens in that movie. Like, come on, man.
The,
like,
the bomb scene. In The Dark Knight Returns. Are you talking about Dark Knight, The Dark Knight or The Dark Knight Returns?
Just Dark Knight franchise in general.
The bomb scene was enough.
Yeah.
In the last movie. The train scene in the first one. Second one, I would probably say... No, that one's pretty grounded.
I mean, you say that, but then it's still about a dude who dresses up as a
fair,
bat.
Fair. That is
because
fair.
His parents got murdered in an alley, and he feels he wants to bring justice into the world because of it. Like, I mean, dude was trained by ninjas. Like, come on. Like, it's a whole, like, suspension of disbelief here, guys. Like,
even you can say the same thing when it comes to Matt Reeves' Batman.
That's also true. I mean, heck, that's always been sort of Batman's sort of MO, right? Like, yes, you know, obviously, like, when you can ground it in reality, but at the end of the day, it's still a guy in a bat costume.
It's still a rich guy using his money for this kind of stuff. No, I hate those jokes personally. But, like, yeah, no, it's still just a guy in a bat suit.
Yeah, because it's like, and we can have, like, both the serious takes and also the sillier takes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the 1960s Batman, which was what everybody knew Batman was for a while. Or the Lego Batman movie, which I will still contend is one of the best Batman movies of all time.
You will not hear me complain about that movie.
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ, it's like, that movie is just a good bat. Like, you could just replace most of the Lego bits, and I would argue that's a good Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you know, and no one ever brings it up in terms of, like, oh, what's the best Batman movie, right? Oh, it's always Dark Knight, or or Tim Burton's Batman, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. I concur that the Lego Batman movie should be in that conversation. Much like I will say, you know, a lot of the Godzilla movies, you know, whether they are MonsterVerse or from the Toho side of things, should be, you know, up there in terms of good Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
Just because they're silly, you know, does not make them bad movies.
But it's not art.
And, yeah, I don't know. So it's like, it feels, I don't know. I guess part of me feels like, whenever people bring this up, it's like, oh, no, like, it has to be super serious, you know, because no one will take it seriously. And it's like, I feel like you're trying to validate that you like
yeah.
something silly without having it look kind of cringe,
mm-hmm.
right?
It's the people who, like, look at, and this is a callback to one of our old friends, Kelvin. Not to say he thinks this way, but it's like people who look at Power Rangers weird, but yet you go to Japan, it's the fucking, the coolest thing ever.
Well, yeah, the original Super Sentai people, you know, obviously that's been running, like, for, like, the
it's 70s.
Still going. Yeah, like,
Kamen Rider?
Yeah, like, all that stuff is well-liked. I mean, heck, people were bringing up Kamen Rider stuff when the whole Master Chief, like, oh, we can't have him act with the helmet on. We can't emote very well. And, like, people were just posting, like, clips of, like, Super Sentai and Kamen Rider shit, you
mm-hmm.
know, on Twitter or whatever.
When it really was, it just didn't have the budget to keep going with it.
Yeah, but it's, like, also the obvious answer, Mandalorian, is, like, it's right there.
Yeah,
it's right
there.
But anyways, back on topic.
Yeah.
Yeah
but that was a good topic.
Yeah, but, yeah, the human story, while not as, I guess, engaging in a sort of emotional way as Minus One is...
That's fine.
Like, it still has, like, some pretty solid beats, because it mainly focuses on Gia, the little girl who was able to communicate Kong through sign language. She has grown up to be a teenager,
mm-hmm.
but she has had some issues fitting in, because she, you know, she's the last of her native tribe on Skull Island. You know, the scientist that, you know, found her is basically, you know, being her surrogate mom at this point, and, you know, it's a whole plot of, like, where do you want to be, you know, like, where do you feel like you belong, right? And, you know, we bring back, I forget this dude's name.
Brian Tyree Henry's character?
Yeah.
Honestly was probably one of the best parts of Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah, because he's just kind of like that.
He's just a really good actor and has really good comedic timing.
Yeah, like, he's a solid comedic timing. It makes sense why he comes back, and, you know, his whole thing is like, I want to explore, you know, the whole Earth, you know, because people don't believe that I helped save the world when I defused Godzilla, Mega Godzilla and stuff, you know, and it's like, you know, and he has his whole arc there as well. We even have a new character, Trapper.
Yeah.
Like, he's just straight up like an animal doctor, but like for kaijus.
They made the joke of him being just basically Ace Ventura, and I'm like, yeah, no, that's what he is.
Yeah, that
makes, sounds about right.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's a, you know, overall, like, that human plot, because when they go to the Hollow Earth to figure out what's going on, you know, they stumble upon an ancient civilization of people living in Hollow Earth, and they are like...
And this is where I'm like, this is so Showa-era Godzilla. Because, like, the whole time I was thinking about... And I can't remember which ones it is, because it's the one where we find out that there's, like, underground people who are trying to rise up against the surface world, and they call help from Gigan. I think it was the Gigan movie, was it?
Are you saying it was the Hedera? No, it's not Gigan. No, I think I remember. It's the one that has Jet Jaguar in it, right?
No. Maybe. The thing is, you know, because like they sometimes bring back the same monsters once or twice. Gigan was one of those monsters.
Yeah.
I do remember Gigan being part of it. It might have been Hedera.
No, Megalon. I think it was Megalon.
I think it might have been. Yeah, no, you might be right. It might be Megalon.
Godzilla versus Megalon.
Which, so that was Jet Jaguar. Because Jet Jaguar, that's the one he was introduced
to. Yeah. But main point is that, you know, a lot of times in old Godzilla, which is like, you know, they would have sort of weird stuff like that, you know, where the...
I still remember the cockroach aliens.
Yeah, that was
and the ape aliens.
Yeah. So just weird, like, aliens that would just show up. Although this isn't really aliens, it's more of just...
But you know they're good, goddamn well they're planning on it.
You know, but anyways, yeah, like, it is interesting to see how this, you know, Hollow Earth civilization works. You know, they have, like, these crazy pyramid stuff, like... Mm-hmm. You know, there's this whole stuff. And, you know, we learn that Gia, you know, because, you know, Gia and these people are one of the same, right?
Yeah.
Like they're the, you know, predecessors, I guess, or technically they're still part of the same tribe.
Yeah.
But it's just that her tribe had gone out to the surface while they stayed behind on Hollow Earth. And, you know, it turns out they learned that Gia is actually part of a secret prophecy. That
so happened to be a part of it.
Yeah, so, you know, they talk about this whole prophecy, you know, obviously talking about how, you know, Scar King came to power, and how Godzilla beat him back to, you know, Hollow Earth, and that's, you know, and Scar King found Shimo, took control of her, and now he's planning for one day to rise up to the surface to take control, you know, just destroy the, you know, all the humans.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with the Urala Gia, they can enact a prophecy where she will bring Mothra back. You know, and allow them to, you know, stop the Scar King, which, you know, it's an interesting plot for her, because at the end of the day, you know, Gia, as much as she, like, meets and finds people, you know, of her tribe and, like, gains be in that culture again, like, you have the whole classic, like the scientist mom wants to leave her behind because this is where she belongs, right? But then it's like, no, I belong with you, Mom. Like, wherever we go, I'll always be, you know, be happy.
it's very much of, like, that kind of thing. And I guess it's very simple, but it works. It works.
Yeah, and also, you know, since I mentioned it, pretty neat for Mothra to show up again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, we knew from the ending of King of the Monsters, at least from that ending credits scene, there is like a newspaper tabloid being like, oh, we found another one of Mothra's eggs and stuff, right? And also, that's just always a thing with Mothra. She's always being, like, brought back, whether it is from, like, eggs that she's laid, right? Or various other things from her own movies and stuff. I will admit, this is probably one of the more interesting ways of bringing her back.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that we probably aren't gonna get the the two little fairies, the twins.
I mean, technically we kind of do have them, if you remember from King of the Monsters. You know, there's that whole set of, like, just twins
Mm-hmm.
That was part of Monarch
yeah.
the entire time, like going back to
nice
generation.
That was a nice nod.
I mean, heck, who knows if we are getting more MonsterVerse stuff? Because I mean, obviously, there's the Apple TV show, right? Monarch
mm-hmm.
that follows, you know, that whole stuff. We could get. I mean, I don't know. You could still do more stuff with MonsterVerse.
No.
You could do with Mothra being out, like being back. You could maybe do like a Mothra like spinoff. Stuff, right?
Yeah.
In the vein of like when they did it in the Heisei era.
Yeah, the right? Mothra Rebirth movies.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be so good.
Yeah,
that. I'd watch that.
Yeah, you could make you could have Batra show up. You could have maybe like a different. You know, just,
Godzilla shows up to help.
Yeah, you know.
Because like, apparently they've been intentionally tied in this movie.
Yeah, you know they're symbiotic species. Which by the way, we didn't talk much about Godzilla, but it is kind of fun that he is. They kind of have him. For the most run of the movie, just straight up just be running around killing other monsters, getting energy, because he's like, the Scar King's coming back, I gotta suit up.
I got this is my training arc.
Yeah, just starts murdering a bunch of monsters, and he has this whole, like, funny side plot where he's like, nah, I just like to hang out in the Colosseum now. Like, this is my favorite spot to sleep on Earth now.
Yeah, just it's perfectly circly around
and
my...
And the governments are just like,
what are we supposed to do?
It's like, no, you can't shoot Godzilla, alright? It's just... It's not gonna work. Just, I guess, leave him be for now.
Listen, we can't. He's literally our only defense against the other giant monsters.
All right, you can't just kill him. But yeah, no, it's you know, it is kind of fun to just see him go like a bit serial killer mode on
mm-hmm.
a bunch of other like titans.
He goes serial killer mode real hard.
Yeah, you know, he gains a new power up. You know, like he's like pink now or whatever.
Yeah.
So you know,
it's funny. It just honestly the fights between with all of them are just really good.
Yeah, I will say that's something that's also cool is that a lot of the monster fights, you know,
mm-hmm.
are very well done. I mean, I know some people kind of are like, you know, effects are kind of iffy, but I think for the most part it looked pretty solid.
It's
I mean, I think there's
fine.
I think there was like maybe like one or two things. I think it's because that whole sequence where they're all in like. You know, they get, like, gravity gets suspended and they're all just floating around. I think that's where it kind of looked a little weird, I think.
Yeah, but there were some real cool, like, sequences up there.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned, I think, Godzilla suplexing Kong.
Yes,
that
was like, yeah.
That's just, like, that's like, one of those things of, like, hey, listen.
Let's have fun.
Yeah, like, at the end of the day, you can't tell me seeing a 300-foot-tall lizard suplexing a gorilla... while they're in front of the Giza pyramids and shit is not cool. Like, don't get me wrong, I am one of those people that is probably, you know, like, doesn't really care much for the Bayformers stuff, besides, like, maybe the first one in Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Right? But even I have to be like, okay, that's just cool.
That's just cool.
Like, come on.
Come on,
like,
guys. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And also more accurate than Napoleon.
But yeah, no, it's also a nice little nod that Mothra shows up to like, hey, you know, chill out, everybody chill, all right, we got a mission here, all right, which is, you know, similar to like what happened with Godzilla and Rodan in
mm-hmm.
the Ghidorah movie from
that's
the old
right.
days.
I remember now, yeah.
Yeah, that's like, Mothra comes in to be like, hey, you guys stop fighting, we got to fight Ghidorah now, come on.
Yep, it's such a Mothra thing to do.
Yeah, but you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, I guess, like you said, like the action's great. I mean, heck, actually, I forgot about to mention this. Like the Mini Kong is
such
an interesting, funny character, right? Because initially, I mean, I don't know if we have an actual name for him. But I'm just gonna call him Mini Kong because that's what he is. He's a baby Kong.
Yeah, basically.
You know, he and a bunch of other Kongs jump Kong for the first time, and like there's a whole bit where Kong just grabs this baby. Monkey by the legs and just starts beating the other Kongs with him.
Like, that's like, yeah, no, we're here to have fun.
Like,
turn brain off, have fun.
That's just like, come on, that's just hilarious.
That's so good.
And
everyone was laughing at
this. Mini Kong who's being forced to, like, show, you know, he's like, Kong's forcing him to show him, like, hey, where are the other Kongs at? I want to see him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, like, for a little bit of the movie, he's just trying to get him killed. And it's like, oh shit, this guy's kind of a badass. I better not mess with him then.
Yeah. It's even more funnier when like when people earlier were making jokes about, oh, it's Kratos and Atreus.
Atreus from God of War, yeah.
And
there's
like,
a whole bit, too, where like, he literally has an axe on his shoulder and he just like looks like, go.
like, move, boy.
Boy.
Boy. Like, that's all I hear when I. Like, that's automatic, like, shit. They must have heard that joke going around, because that is way too accurate to be, you know, just like a
coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I definitely. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
No, but I agree. It's just a really fun movie. It's not like the greatest. Minus One is like the more serious art house film, which Godzilla movies can be, but also can be really fun and, you know, you just have a good time. Like, that's kind of like what I would want from a Godzilla movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times have we made jokes about Godzilla doing a little jump going like, yee-hoo, Mario style, or his belly flop, or his interesting way of flying.
Right.
Yeah. Or even one of our favorite side characters, Jet Jaguar.
You know, just a robot that you can just change its sizes at will to help fight.
Because he's basically Ultraman.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they somehow bring Jet Jaguar and just make him Diet Ultraman, I'd be in. I'd be down.
I mean, because obviously, you know, Kong gets like this brace, like arm brace thing to help him fight. You know, it's that, you know, they explain the plot, that plot point of being like, hey, you know, ever since the Mechagodzilla stuff happened, we felt like, you know, we had to like help Kong in some way, so we started try to make some enhancements for him, but then the government shut it down, but then the enhancement we made for him, we sent it out to Hollow Earth just in time, so we still have it around here, so let's just go grab it.
Yeah, it's plot convenience.
But yeah, I guess the only negatives I have, I guess, do relate back to the human story, because like, I think, like I said, like, again, it's not bad.
It's
serviceable.
Serviceable. It's just very by the beats. The only good thing about it is that both the female actors, the actor playing Gia and the actress playing the doctor, just do a really good job of showing a level of emotion between each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy it.
Yeah.
Everyone else is just like, we're just here for funsies.
Yeah, they're a bit, you know, over the top for comedic moments and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
That's about it for me. What's your rating?
I'm leaning towards like a 7.5. Like, again, like I said, for the most part, I think as much as I have fun with the movie, always, I think I said it, as I said earlier, you know, the human story is a bit whack and weak. I mean, it's still fine for what it is, but, you know, that is just how it is with you know, this movie, right? I will also say that, you know, like, as much as I really like a lot of the action, there are, like, at least some moments where, you know, like I said earlier, like, the CG like, kind of looks a little, you know. But besides all that stuff, you know, I still think it's an enjoyable movie, right? That, you know, it hits all the stuff it needs to hit when it comes to being a Godzilla movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a big action, like, movie stuff. And I guess you could also argue that, like, Godzilla's screen time isn't wholly there. Like, you know, he's part of the title of the movie, but he doesn't get a whole lot. But
I mean, it kind of works with this whole, like, he's just a force of nature kind of vibe.
Yeah, and I think I understand that sort of perspective of, like, Kong being who he is allows for the narrative to follow him more often than not, since he is, you know, unlike Godzilla, who, you know, how he's been set up in the MonsterVerse, it's like, it's kind of hard to write around a story with Godzilla that isn't just him fighting another monster, right? Because he is sort of a force of nature, protector of the Earth kind of thing, while Kong, you know, has his own deal and can, I think, get better, like, you know, have a more interesting arc when it comes to how he does things. Like, much like how in Godzilla vs. Kong, you know, Kong is the character we follow more than Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously Godzilla has his own thing going on.
Yeah.
Much in the same way, but Kong is the one that we sort of follow through of, like, okay, this is why.
Because he's able to communicate with humans.
Yeah, yeah.
Godzilla can't.
Because
if you do, you have that one awesome moment. Well, it wouldn't be as awesome because it's just derivative of it, but it would probably be like that scene in Godzilla 2000 where Katagiri dies.
Well, I mean, Godzilla doesn't speak at all in that shot, if I remember correctly, right?
No, he doesn't. He just smashes him. Slaps him down.
Mm.
Such a good movie. Classic. But yeah, no, I'm with you. For me, I'd probably give it more of an 8 out of 10. No. 7.5 actually does sound a lot more reasonable, so I'm gonna have to go with that one. It's just very much everything you said. It's very much a fun movie. It's a very enjoyable movie. The human plot is a little on the weak side, but despite that, I do love some of the set designs that they went with described to you as tribe. I kind of noted that to you that it felt very much like sort of a 40s, for somewhere between like the 50s, 60s, really, of like the lost civilization of Atlantis kind of movie, like those black and white Atlantis movies.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, yeah. It's a very, you know, like, retro, like, mm-hmm. futuristic sort of set design for Hollow Western civilization. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, almost a futuristic, but retro, like, very, like, you know, something you would see from, like, that era. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. And if you enjoy what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're also active on Instagram. There you'll find links to all podcasts. We're officially part of, like, all podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and all the like. And you'll find a link to YouTube, where you can, for all you audio listeners out there, you can put a face, you finally put a face to the voice, and you can like, comment, subscribe on there as much as you like, and obviously you have a Patreon for informal support. Anyways, guys, it's me, your boy Eli.
Hey, Joe.
You guys have a good one. Peace.